friends. Welcome to the Real Family Podcast. I'm Roz Mignona from realfoodfamily.com, and I'm here with the wonderful Kathleen Chapman. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Roz.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
This is really fun doing this with you.
I know. I'm having so much fun, and I'm excited to tell you that I've actually talked to some friends that are really excited as well and are listening.
Okay, I heard back from a couple as well. So I'm excited about this topic today because I promised them we were talking about discipline and consequences and everything with our kids.
Yes, and that is my same exact story. The couple friends I talked to actually at our church had like a Halloween festival thing, like a harvest festival instead of trick-or-treating. And so I totally got into conversations with two friends that are now talking in colors, and they were like, you're going to record more, right? And I was so blessed to hear that, because I was like, yes, thank you. I need to hear the response, so I know we should keep going with this. And then I told them we wanted to talk about, discipline, tantrums at any age. It is something that all parents deal with, no matter what color they are or their children are. And it's tough. And it's the hard part of parenting where you feel like you're going insane and you'd rather get a day job when you're dealing.
Right, put your kids in childcare and go get a job.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's actually, as we talked about in the first podcast, what kind of got me started working with you on this with my own children, because I didn't have control. I hadn't established authority, and my kids' behavior was crazy, and they were walking all over me. And, you know, when I thought about doing this, will probably be an ongoing topic that we discuss, because I wanted to do tantrums at any age, because, you know, adults have tantrums too, and teenagers have tantrums too, and it's not just a 2-year-old tantrum. So I think it'll be fun to kind of discuss maybe how the different temperaments, their different types of tantrums look when they lose their temper. It might be different, and definitely, you know, this is your expertise as far as how different colored parents need to be dealing with different colored children. And actually, you have some guides for this, right? You have some guides for how different temperament parents work with different temperament children.
Right. Especially in the correcting, the consequences area. Every temperament, depending on the mom or the dad, interacts differently with their child's temperament. But Roz, let me read something right at the very beginning here. I want everyone listening to know that this is not a mistake that your child has been chosen for your family, even though sometimes it feels like it. I want everyone to just stop for a minute and realize that this is all God's plan. And He created each of us the way He intended. It's not a mistake. Our kids' temperaments are not a mistake. He really has a plan for this. And I want to read to you out of the NRIV in Psalm 139. You created the deepest parts of my being. You put me together inside my mother's body. How you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful. I know that very well. None of my bones was hidden from you when you made me inside my mother's body. That place was as dark as the deepest parts of the earth. When you were putting me there together, all together, your eyes saw my body even before it was formed. You planned how many days I would live. You wrote down the number of them in your book before I had lived through even one of them. God, your thoughts about me are priceless. No one can possibly add them all up. If I could count them, they would be more than the grains of sand. If I were to fall asleep counting them and then wake up, you would still be there with me. I just love that, because He did. He designed us while we were yet inside of our mother's womb. And that is the promise I hang on to. and that I used to hang on to when I had kids in my house. So I think that's important that we start with that.
Absolutely. And as I listen to that, I think my prayer as a parent, and just as a person, as a Christian person in this world, is that God would give me a heart that breaks for what breaks his heart, and a heart that is God's heart, you know, and a heart for my children to see them and feel for them the way that he sees them and feels for them. Right. And what a connection that gives us as parents, and understanding God as our Heavenly Father. I really believe, you know, parenting is just a way that God helps us know more about him and who he is, and learn more about who he is and why he created us. It's right. Amazing.
Exactly.
Real quick, I want to take a 2-second break before we really dive in now, because I had some questions from people about the colors.
Right.
When they take the test, what happens when they have like multiple, like an even split between two colors? So then they end up with 3 and they can't figure out what.
Okay, they're usually green people that cannot pinpoint the 2 temperaments that are their strongest. And the reason being, a green has difficulty taking a test. And they have difficulty making choices. And believe it or not, they can see how they are in every one of these temperaments. So if you are part green, I suggest you give the test to your husband and have him take it for you. Or to a very good friend, somebody who's not green, that will be very honest with you, brutally honest with you, and let them take it for you.
Yes.
Even your mom. Somebody who knows you better than anyone else.
Yeah, you have to be really honest, because sometimes I can see that, how a green would kind of be like, they almost like they're answering about how they really want to be or how they think they are, but they're really
exactly.
not.
Exactly. And I think most of us do that, but the greens more so on this test.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, cool. Also, okay, I thought of a real quick commercial.
Okay.
Because I wanted to kind of cover, since we're talking about tantrums, lots of emotion going on, and I'd love to kind of share. I also have a new podcast I've started with a friend of mine at Real Food Family, my website. We talk about health and natural health and wellness and nutrition, and I have started a health podcast talking with one of my best friends who owns a big Pilates studio and is just an expert on fitness, and I would consider myself equally knowledgeable in the body, physiology, and nutrition. And so I think we have a lot to offer there for anyone that is
Great.
Interested in that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I just want to emphasize, please take advantage of this. Behavior is heavily influenced by diet. It can, especially for certain temperaments, I would say, because especially with yellow temperament kids, but really all of them, because
right. I was going to say green because they're low energy.
Right. Well, even reds too. I noticed, like, my oldest daughter, there's a couple foods, processed foods, like red food coloring and stuff, that really makes her lose it. Like, I noticed, and what's funny is I thought I was overanalyzing or just kind of wanting the bad food diet to be an excuse, you know, so that I could be a better nutritional therapist. but my mother-in-law said that my husband, when he was a kid, red food coloring would do something crazy to him where he was just impossible. So that was interesting. And so, you know, it really is important to get your family just on consistent, healthy food. I like to focus more on the good things you can add that are nutritious versus focus so much on what you have to not eat, because we're flexible, we're real people, we're not, like, you know, I always say we're not in bondage to a diet, because that's right. not what life is about. But whenever you can add and know how to properly balance food, we use supplements and we use essential oils for all sorts of things, but I'm a doTERRA representative, and we have a whole line of emotional wellness oils that have been incredibly beneficial for all of us. You know, I have some of my favorites when I feel like I've really lost my temper, and so I pray and I use my essential oils. My kids, my yellow tends to to have kind of panicky lows, and just because, you know, she has her natural real highs and real lows. And
in the moment, yes.
Yeah. And so she knows sometimes that she needs to curl up in my lap, and we're going to put some essential oils on her hands, and she's going to take some deep breaths and calm down. And it's, you know, a combination of that affection and stopping to breathe and some of the help, because essential oils have chemistry that, you know, are a great, an effective tool that does kind of give you a little bit more than not using anything to help, and more natural, less side effects than maybe turning to medicine right away. So anyway, just want to give that little commercial. So, you know,
your little yellow, also one of the things she needs from you is attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, along with affection and along with rubbing the oils on her hands, that will help her immensely.
And okay, sorry, real fast, what you made me think of is our bodies have this recognition. You know, when you smell something and you're immediately reminded of something from your past?
Yes.
And so when you use something like an essential oil, when you're doing something positive, so when I'm holding my daughter and she's getting that 100% attention and affection, and she's breathing this oil, when she breathes the oil without the affection, scientifically, it's proven that that she will be reminded of that good feeling, and the hormones and the whole neurological process that happened when she was breathing that oil will come back to her. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
Pavlov and his dogs.
Yes, exactly.
That's true.
I mean, you know, it's the same as chocolate chip cookies. You know, sometimes on a rainy day, some tea and chocolate chip cookies or hot chocolate. It's more than just the food. That's where the comfort comes in. So anyway, I just really want to encourage people there. And Kathleen, you have your own great testimony with the supplements we use with doTERRA called Lifelong Vitality. And we talk a lot about that type of stuff on my website, but also on our new health podcast. So
good.
Take a second to go over there.
Have me as a guest speaker on your podcast, because my life has been so supercharged with my new supplements. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, well, let's dive into this now. Tantrums. Take it away, Kathleen, because I'm in the trenches. And I mean, I would say maybe we could start with the reds, because my whole story with learning the colors with you and working with you was a child that was about 4 years old, and I just have this memory of being in the kitchen, and I felt absolutely defeated because I wanted to put something in one type of bowl, and the kid wanted it in a different type of bowl, and she was screaming no at me, and it was just like absolute battle. And I'm thinking, what? With a 4 year old, this is wrong. I need some help, because I thought I was a good parent, and I'm losing. That's probably okay. Something a lot of parents say. I'm losing.
Okay. Here's a couple of things that I want to start out with. Your little reds have certain needs, and they have certain fears. And sometimes when those are not being met and recognized, that can set off a red. So let me just start by listing a few of these. Okay. A little red wants to be in charge of their life. I think we talked about this last time a little bit, but they are very independent kids. And I'm talking 18 months on up. They are the little kids they want to be in charge. They want respect for doing something well. They don't need a lot of accolades. They don't need a lot of cheering. They need respect for doing something well. They want credit for their talents and abilities. In other words, they want you to acknowledge that they are very talented and able to do this, even though it's not something mommy wants to do right now and doesn't want them to do it right now. They want to do it themselves. They want to be right, and they want approval for what they've done well because they've done it before. So when you have a little red that's got that going for them, okay, they also have some fears. Let me point at these real fast. Little reds are fearing loss of control, and they fear being seen as wrong or incompetent or not having your respect. And that is huge for a little red. Now, well, you have this all going against them at one time. And if they're in a situation where the fears are there or the needs are there and nobody is around that has met them, they're going to act out and they're going to demand to be the one in charge. So as desperately as they need respect, they need to learn respect for their parents and for people in charge. Interestingly enough, the kids don't respect, the Reds don't respect their parents at home. They're not going to respect their grandparents. They're not going to respect their school teachers, preschool teachers. They're not going to respect adults that don't demand that they respect them. It's sad to see these little Reds that go into a school situation or a church situation, and they're trying to run the class like they do at home running the house. And so little Reds have got to be taught early on that they are extremely talented, that they have so much ability, that God has made them so smart and so capable. But God has also said in His Bible that they are to respect their mom and dad and obey them. So that's our little Reds.
Yeah.
And you're talking about when they throw tantrums. Oh, obviously, because they are the stronger of the four temperaments, the Reds and the Yellows are strong and loud. Their tantrums are going to be stronger and louder than any of the others. And they're demanding, and they are a strong child. I think this is something you should also celebrate, you know, when everything is over and the,
right.
and the dust is cleared. Yes, they need to be celebrated because they are very capable children.
What's a typical example of a day gone wrong? You know, what do you think, when it spirals out of control for, like,
right.
what are the things that cause a Red to lose it?
Well, believe it or not, the state of their mom. If a little Red has a mom that is hesitant, quiet, a green mom that doesn't make decisions easily and doesn't do them well.
Or follow through, probably, you know, like.
Or follow through.
Yeah.
And that's true with if they have a yellow mom who never has a schedule and never knows what she's doing. But if the mom is off kilter in the morning, if the mom is having a bad day, I can guarantee you the Red's going to take over. The little Red is going to take over, even though they don't realize that's what they're doing. They're going to come to the rescue and take care of things. And they're going to start ordering people around and doing things themselves, even if it's something they're not allowed to do. So immediately that throws mom into a tailspin. And mom can either be totally unnerved by this and come off screaming and having a fit or crying or whatever happens. Or the mom can quietly resolve to get the respect back. And it should be done quickly and without any yelling or any scene. The Red child will know if they are in charge. They can tell if they're in charge of the house.
You're reminding me of when you came over to discuss this with me after I had called you, and you kind of wanted to observe and spend a little time at the house, and we're sitting there talking, and I guess I didn't know anything yet really about all of this, and I thought, okay, well, now it's important for you and I to talk, so hopefully at the time there were just two girls will behave, and I'll let them do their little tea party. And now I realize, well, my oldest, Eden, decided, okay, mom's busy, so now I'm the mom, and
that's right.
I'm going to be deciding what we do. So they wanted to do a tea party, and me being a green, I said, okay, fine, whatever. And they went outside, and I had said, you can't use the water bottle to pour into the teapot. You know, you have to use the faucet. Some sort of rule that I threw out there.
But you were preoccupied.
I was preoccupied. And so Eden got the water bottle and did exactly what I said she couldn't do.
And because my time was precious, you thought, I'll let that fly.
Exactly.
I'll let it go by. And I'll just focus on Kathleen, who's here right now to spend time with me.
Exactly.
And that's something that cannot happen when you have a little red child.
Right. You looked at me. I was talking, and I could tell you were not paying attention because you were waiting for me to stop talking so you could say, are you going to take care of this?
That's right.
I mean, and I'm going, what? Well, you just told her she could not do that. And what is she doing right now? And I said, oh, okay. You know, and it was like, and that was my homework.
They're so smart. And kids are so smart. They really are. And she knew she was in charge, and she knew you wouldn't do anything about it. And you wouldn't take the time to discipline her or have any consequences. And she knew it at the get-go when I walked in. Yeah. And it was just kind of, I smiled, you know, and I thought, okay, Roz just needs to start over and establish the guidelines. And you have the cutest kids in the world, Roz, and they don't need to be in charge. You need to be in charge. And it's just, it's fun to watch you evolve and become a great mom.
Oh, thanks. Well, the homework you gave me on that one was 30 days of not ever letting anything slide, is hard because you don't like when I use the word lazy, but I do. I see myself as a green temperament. I guess it takes more effort and it takes consistency and to get up and not let anything slide. And
it's huge.
And it was hard.
It's huge. It's huge for a green. All the green moms and blue moms out there listening, this is going to be one of the most difficult things you ever do. But as long as you do it correctly and establish it within a month, parenting will be much, much easier for you. The kids have to see that you mean business and that this is the new rule in our home. And mom is in charge and you are not. And you do it with a smile. You do it on purpose. And you do it for 30 days in a row. And believe me, you will have won over your little green and your little yellow and your little blue and your other kids. You will have won over the mom role now as it was given to you by God.
Right. And it is inherent in children and instinctual that children thrive when they have boundaries and when they have control. And it's actually, wouldn't you say, it's when there's a lack of control and a lack of boundaries that the kids tend to lose it. I mean, that's when the tantrums come.
That's right.
Because they are kind of testing how far they can let their emotions go and how far they can, you know, lose control before, you know, anything's going to happen, I guess.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, a lot of parents think that they're supposed, you know, parents that come, I definitely came from the natural parenting, attachment parenting, where with babies, we hold them a lot, you know, we nurse them a lot, and there's that baby wearing thing. And what I noticed as I became a mom of older children and transitioned out of that baby stage is a lot of those types of parents kept going with that mentality of happiness,
yes.
Where I saw this very distinct transition, yes, probably 18 months old, once they start talking back, basically, where really the attachment parenting is now introducing strict discipline, because you're going from an infant who doesn't know any better, where you are creating a constant secure boundary for them, where they are protected and secure, where if you transition into, okay, now the boundary and the protection is discipline and the boundaries of our family and the way that we properly act, and that you don't get to absolutely lose control. Because I mean, to think of it, why would you control your baby and keep them safe and keep their arms bundled in so that they can't flail them about and lose it, and then think that the equivalent is to let a child, what a lot of parents would say, express their emotions by absolutely losing it, control, flailing their arms, screaming bloody murder, not having I see it as the opposite. I feel like having rules and having discipline, not letting them lose it, that is really the extension of attachment parenting.
That's Absolutely. And I'm going to insert here. You said 18 months. I guarantee you by 6 months, your babies knew what you expected and what you didn't. I've never seen a mom let a baby, for example, bite her on the breast while she's nursing.
Totally. And
say, yeah. And say, oh, that's all right. As the blood's running down her body. That's all right. They're babies. No. There's certain things by the time a baby is 6 months old. And the reason I know this, Roz, I have to tell you, I cheated. I had a girlfriend who had babies before me. And she came over with her 6-month-old little boy one day in one of those little roll around. I know they don't do that anymore because they're not approved. But the little roll around seat, they sat in a little seat, bouncy, and they had wheels on it, and they could roll all over the house. And he was 6 months old. He was a happy baby. He laughed. He was having so much fun. And as she and I were talking on the couch, he rolled his little thing right over the television and went to put his hand right on the television. And she said, no. And he turned around and looked at her. She didn't yell. She didn't raise her voice. She didn't do anything. She said, no. And he turned around and looked at her. And then he went and stuck his hand out again. Mm-hmm. And she repeated it. She said, Jared, no. And he scooted away from the television and just kept on rolling around the room and looking at everything else. It blew me away, Roz. It blew me away. I said, he's only 6 months old. She said, I know. But I'm not going to have him touching things that would hurt him or touching things that would hurt the thing. And I thought, oh my goodness. If he was to pick up something and put it in his mouth, what would you say? You would say no.
Right.
I mean, she said when she was first teaching him, she had to swat his hand a couple times, but didn't do it to hurt him at all, just to get his attention.
Right.
And he learned the word no by 6 months. And when I had my first baby, I'm not kidding you, that stuck with me it stuck with me till now. And I have 10 grandkids. 6 months old, a baby can learn what is allowed and what isn't.
Yeah, amazing.
And you don't have to abuse a child. I am not advocating anything like that. I'm just saying you have to demand that they respect your decision.
Right.
And there's different ways to do it, and you can pick your own way.
Right. We're spending a lot of time on reds, I think mainly because reds are the most difficult, maybe, when
they
it comes.
They are the strongest, and they are the hardest to really get in control as children. Yes,
right, and they're stubborn, and they're difficult to distract, and
that is true.
And it, you know, you always say start young, which is great, but plenty of moms haven't been able to start young. So what happens? Okay, you've got a red teenager
that you have not ever told that you're the parent in the home.
Or just maybe even a red teenager that the parents just kind of dealt with the cute, stubborn, strong-willed child and never really did anything, you know, or just more of a motivating factor for parents to realize that what reds look like as they become teenagers and adults.
Well, they are usually very accomplished in school. They will be the head of the class. It's interesting, if a teacher at school demands that they respect them, a red will respect them. A red will respect the authority in their presence that is demanding to be respected as an adult. So a lot of red children, if they have red teachers, they do well. They do really well in school. But a red teenager that has not been identified as a rebel or a problem child, I, as a parent, if they're not doing what you say they should do, if they're not following the house rules, you need to have a sit-down time. And if it means bringing in their youth director from church, who they love very much and respect, then do it. Or bringing in a high school teacher that they love very much and respect, then do it. But the rules have to change at the house. And from this day forward, the parent has to demand respect and that the rules are followed or there's consequences. And Roz, let me say, instead of discipline, let's say the word consequences.
Right.
And there needs to be consequences from 6 months old through 18 if they leave your house. If the rules in the house are not met, there needs to be a consequence. And it's so funny. Back when I was raising kids, I sometimes would give a slap on the bottom and it would get their attention. But not so with my little Red.
Nope.
And the reason being, he also had ADD. So the most painful thing I could put him through would be to sit him on a stool in the corner of the room. That was so much pain for him that he would do anything to obey the rules of the house. Yeah. And this I'm talking about as he's a little older. And if you have a child that will not sit on the chair when you tell them to, then you've gone way beyond parenting to needing help, outside help.
Yeah.
In the home. Yes.
Exactly. And that's the key. I mean, what you taught me, consequences are either good or bad. So
right
now we're talking about, you know, disciplinary consequences for bad behavior. I would encourage you to listen to our second podcast, the one before this one, about positive consequences, kind of like, you know, to avoid getting into the negative times of life. I think if you focus on what we talked about last time, all of the wonderful ways to spend time with people based on their specific temperaments, you're going to probably find you're going to avoid a lot of the spiraling into the negative behaviors.
That's right.
But with my Red, oh my gosh, it got to the point where I was trying spanking. You know, it was like, something's got to work because she thinks she outsmarts every consequence I've come up with so far.
That's right.
And spanking, she would kind of be like, that didn't hurt, you know, and she would kind of challenge me to like, how hard can you spank me before it actually hurts me? You know, it was like, oh my goodness. And that's where it takes creativity, because one of the things you've taught me is your consequences have to work or never do them again. Don't ever do a consequence that doesn't work again.
That's right. And some of them will push you to to the limits. But that's why if young moms with young kids are listening, do it before they're 3 years old. Do the consequences before they're 3 years old. For the bad things, like a slap on the bottom or whatever else that you choose as a consequence, sitting on a stool or what. You do it before they're 3 years old, and by the time they're six, they will have you've won them over. You're not going to have to struggle with this when they're older.
Right. And you know, there's plenty of moms or families that are so against spanking, and that's a whole other debate. But really, you know, I think it all goes back to what is a consequence that works. Because you can spank kids and it does nothing, and then you just always turn to spanking, and then by the time the kids are 3, 6, 8 years old, you know, all they think is, oh, okay, my parents just hit me all the time. You know, it's just part of who we are, and it does. It's not a consequence. It's just like a part of their life.
Yeah, it's got to come early. And before the 3 years old, my mother-in-law actually told me that. She said, you discipline a child before the 3 years old, they don't remember it. They don't remember it. All they remember is that they obey, that they are supposed to obey. And that's whether it's, I have a young mother in my life that she uses a squirt bottle. I don't know if she saw somebody do it or not, but she will squirt them on their head with a squirt bottle when she says no, if they do something, she squirts them. And her one little boy loved it. He loved it. So she goes, okay, I'm not using that anymore. He loved it. He laughed and laughed and threw the water. He thought that was the funniest thing. Well, she does it to her daughter. She gets her attention. She does not like that. So it's really fun. You figure out the temperament and what works for each child. And that's why the sitting on a chair worked for our son. And worked for my husband, too. He said that was the most painful consequence in his life. He remembers his mother making him sit on a chair.
Right. So, yeah, right now, I mean, for my oldest, the thing that works, actually it's starting to not work anymore, but it was picking up dog poop in the backyard. But now she kind of likes cleaning, so she kind of likes the challenge. It's, you have to outsmart them. I mean, it's not easy. There's not a certain consequence. You have to be creative and make it bad.
Okay, let me tell one story, then we'll hurry through to the yellows. A father came to me about his 7-year-old boy who was the red in the household and who was breaking all of the younger brother's toys. The younger brother would put something together and the red 7-year-old would go in and destroy it. And this went on. I mean, it lasted. It's been going on since he was 5, 6 years old, and now he's 7. And so the dad was at his wit's end, and he came and he said, "What would you do? Just tell me right off the top of your head, what would you do?" I said, "Tell me what is really precious to the 7-year-old." And he thought for a minute, and he said, "Oh, well, he and I worked on these really expensive models together. And we use them as a father-son time, you know, and we put these models together. And they're on a shelf over his bed way at the top. Nobody can touch them. They're very expensive airplane models, car models that they had worked on for months." And he said he's very, very proud of those. Those are his favorite things. And I said, "Well, next time he breaks his brother's toy, take down one of the models and destroy it. Step on it." And the father looked at me as if I was kidding. He said, "What? Oh, no, those are very expensive." I said, "What is more important to you? That you have a little boy who obeys authority and has respect for you? Or that the models stay up on that shelf up there without any harm?" And he said, "I can't believe I would have to do something so drastic." And I said, "Well, I know you and I know your son, and I'll bet if you break one of his models every time that he does something to his brother's toys, it will only take one model to be destroyed."
Yeah.
And it's just thinking out of the box. Thinking out of the box, what is so important to a red, you can use that for a consequence, and it will work.
Yep, it's so true. And just as a reminder of the motivation for it, for parents, you know, both in our family and friends circle growing up, we can probably name a couple people that grew up and always got away with their behavior, never really had consequences that worked enough, that scared them enough, did end up in jail and ended up hurting a lot of other people and causing a lot of turmoil in the family, you know, either breaking families apart, parents or close to it that needed a lot of restoration. I mean, there's serious consequences for not taking care of this. And I taught high school, and, you know, when parents are not involved and they deny that any of it is really that big of a deal, I see what happens is kids that are just very good at covering up the fact that they're big bullies that do a lot of bad things that are going to damage their bodies and damage other people. And
that's the other side of a red.
Right.
The negative traits of a red is that they are bullies. So they are the bullies on the playground. They are the ones that are heading for huge trouble down the road.
Right. And I see that as, you know, that's them expressing their emotions.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You know, it's not fair. It's not fun when it hurts someone is what we say in our house. And you know, it is sad that that older kids have to go through this and young adults because they weren't taught.
The parents did not do it while they were young. Exactly. Okay, let's touch on the yellows really quickly. Because I wanted to point out the yellow's fears and the yellow's needs.
Yeah.
A little yellow needs attention. They need approval. They need affection. They need an audience. They need applause. They need affirmations. But they have fears. And this is where you will also see them act out. Being left out. A little yellow who is left out. Or a little yellow who is bored. They don't want to be bored. That actually unnerves them. And if they are not popular or liked by the people that are there in their life right then, that is the biggest fear for a little yellow. So that kind of sums it all up. If you give the yellow attention, positive attention, and keep them with activities that makes them actually think that they are doing things that make mommy happy and that mommy just loves, give them little projects that they can do. Color a picture for them mommy loves pictures. And if you bring another one up to me every 10 minutes, mommy will make a big deal about these pictures. And after about 10, the yellow will go on to something else. But that's huge for a little yellow, that mommy oohs and ahs over them, or whoever is in their life that oohs and ahs over them. And chances are, if there's any strife in a little yellow's life, like a brother and sister or whatever, it could be a red that doesn't want to be interested in them right now.
Yes.
Or a blue who is doing something very, very serious that means a lot to a little blue, and the yellow bounces in and wants to be entertained, or wants to entertain. That can set off brothers and sisters. So a little yellow needs the guidelines and the boundaries of when it's time to perform, when it's time to show off, when it's time to dress up and contribute by a performance or whatever. And sometimes it's just attention and affection that they need. But when these things are missing, a yellow will go into a dramatic response because they have high highs and they have low lows, and they're in the moment. This is not something that started yesterday, Roz. A yellow wakes up every morning with a new day.
Yeah.
A brand new day, which is horrible because the little blues work all week on a project. And at the end of the week, they want it to be meaningful and they want to be appreciated for it. Not a yellow. Every morning it's brand new, as if yesterday didn't even happen. All of the things you gave a little yellow yesterday don't carry over till today. That's the frustrating part for a mom. Yeah. That's the exhausting part for a mom.
Definitely.
As a yellow wife, it was so funny. We first got married, and Dwayne would have a day where he was home and tell me how much he loved what I was doing with our apartment and tell me how much he appreciated and everything else. The next morning, I required it again.
Yeah.
He had done it for the week. You know what I mean? He is a blue. He is a blue, and he said something very meaningful to me on Monday, and he expected that to last till the next Monday.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. So a yellow can be exhausting.
Yes.
That's why they need boundaries. They need permission to be yellow at this time during the day, and after these chores are done, and after this rest period, and after, be specific with a little yellow, or they will be out of control.
And they're really, you've said before, they're really reward driven.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry to say, but we are shallow. I mean, not permanently, but yes, right off the bat, especially children, they need rewards. They don't need a pat on the back that said, you're wonderful. That would be a little blue. A little yellow needs a reward. A little red needs results. They need to see what they've done matters and is accomplished. But the little yellow, they need fun, and they need friends, and they need rewards.
Right. So what does misbehavior look like at every age, or like at most, you know, chunks of age for yellows?
Well, yellows are going to be devastated, and you have ruined them for life. And that's what they're going to make you feel like. They're going to carry on in a manner that is not acceptable in your house.
Yes, it works. I've seen, you know, falling on the ground, crying and right. And also pouting. There's like, pouting and going and hiding on the bed and just.
But that is showing disrespect for your parent. And that's not allowed. If you want to go to your room and be sad for a while, that's fine, but you do it quietly in this house. And nobody slaps their bed or hits a doll or throws toys on the ground. Because you do, I will take them away. You go in and you take a deep breath, and if the child's old enough to have learned about Jesus, they can pray. That is working beautifully with one of my grandkids. He was baptized this summer, and he loves Jesus, and it's really interesting. His blue wants to go into a real big pout and a real big not talking to anybody. And all of a sudden, his mom says, you know what? I think this is a really good time to go talk to Jesus about this. And he snaps right out of it. It's like, oh, Oh. And so he says he will go in the bedroom and pray about it. And he comes out a different kid. So I love when you can have children talk to the Lord about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say the little yellows, not so much, because the little yellows accept Jesus every week.
Yeah.
And it might take them to a little older age before it's really a serious, intentional, on purpose, what do I say, where they really have a heart change.
Right.
Yes. The little yellows want to accept Jesus every week at church and at vacation Bible school and whenever anybody gives an invitation, because they want everybody to be happy with them and they want everybody to love seeing them come. And that's just the way it rolls. So you do. You want to get them, especially the blues and the greens and the reds, at an early age.
Yeah.
Where they can understand who Jesus is and their need for Jesus to help them as they navigate this thing called life.
Yeah. Real quick, I think what we're going to do is...
two next time?
Yeah, we're going to do a two-part, or probably more than that even, because what I'd like to do is really go into greens and blues. And also, I really want to encourage listeners to email us or comment on the posts or get in touch with us somehow with maybe some questions about, you know, what's really helped me is explaining to you a situation and you giving me some guidance on a consequence that may work or how to curb certain behavior and properly guide that behavior. And you've come up with things that I would have never thought of. So I hope that a lot of parents out there might take advantage of that. So let us know.
One last thought on that yellow. I was thinking, yellows need an audience. So their little tantrums, the more people that can observe them, the better. That's what they think. So they would likely throw some kind of a tantrum with people watching.
Yeah.
Yes. So
what does it look like?
You remove them from the situation.
Right.
You have to remove the yellow from the situation. And I want to also, encourage moms not to discipline or use consequences in front of people. Don't discipline your children in front of other people. Don't yell at them or you give a consequence in front of other people. Remove the child from the room and do it.
Yeah, that reminds me of when I had babies and my mom, you know, and we tried to go to a restaurant or something, and a simple thing she taught me, because I thought, well, a baby's going to cry in a restaurant, you know, a little toddler. What can I do about it? And she said, leave. Do not allow them to be crying and screaming in a restaurant. And they'll learn that they get to go back in when they're not crying.
Disrupt everybody around you, not just your own family.
Exactly. And that's a big part of properly raising up the kids, too, is that I think a lot of parents don't realize is, or they try to deny, that we all want children that other people will enjoy being around. You don't want to have the kids that everyone, you know, just really does not want to be around, or is afraid when they show up, you know, at the party or at the Sunday school or whatever. You want children that behave.
We went out with a family one time when we had a child that decided to not behave in the restaurant. And Dwayne spent the entire dinner in the car with our child, and he missed dinner, but I couldn't leave. We had other couples there, and I was supposed to be there for a reason, and my other child was behaving perfectly. So I just had his pack to go, and when we got in the car and went home, he ate his dinner. Yeah, you make sacrifices to raise good children.
That's key. That is so true. Yes. So true. Oh boy. Okay. Well, there's just too much to talk about, but that is the journey of parenting and grandparenting, and it's a never ending story. So, yes, please go to our websites, KathleenChapman.com, realfoodfamily.com. That's where we post these podcasts. We'll be on iTunes soon. We post them, as a YouTube video. Also, we embed the audio files of these podcasts in the actual blog posts, And so there's multiple ways to listen, multiple ways to comment. But it would really, we would love it if you would comment with your questions, because there are so many other parents. I know that when I read, you know, responses and comments, or I listen to radio programs or whatnot, and I hear other parents commenting with their certain issues and questions, it really validates me
right.
and the problems I'm going through. So I encourage everyone to really get involved and help us create more of a community, because it's been really fun to talk to people that are listening and hear their comments.
Right. Me, yes, I know.
Great. Okay, well, that's all for today, and I'm excited to continue this conversation next time. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.